الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we have begun reading from the chapter the author he mentioned باب التحذير من شر اللسان, the chapter with regards to the warning of the evils of the tongue. And we have seen that the tongue is a great blessing and a benefit for the human being. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught the human being speech and eloquence and fluency with the tongue is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a favor to be able to speak and to be able to express oneself. And the tongue, it can be used in the most lofty and beneficial manners. And it can be a means to draw a person close and near to Allah Azza wa Jalla in his favor, and to earn him the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Jannah. But also, on the other hand, the tongue can be used in a filthy and a foul manner. And it can be used in a despicable way, and it could be a means to earn a person the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his punishment. It could be a means to earn a person the anger of Allah azza wa jalla and his punishment, and it could be a means to fall on one's face. It could be a means to fall on one's face into the hellfire. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he clarified the issue here, warning from this affair, first clarifying that the upright and noble slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal, the slaves to his divinity, those who worship him alone and single him out alone in worship, and they obey him and comply to his commandments and show preference to his command, subhanahu wa ta'ala, ibad al-Rahman, from their greatest attributes. And from the first attributes that Allah mentioned about them is that they are people that protect their tongue, and they check their tongue. And whenever the people of ignorance speak ignorantly with them, they do not respond in ignorance. Rather, they respond in a manner that they will be safe from sin, and safe from foolishness, and safe from ignorance. And they deal with this vain and foul speech with a manner of dignity and honor. And this is from their characteristics and traits. We have seen likewise the means for this and the success for them in this affair is that they have faith and they have belief, and they believe in Allah, and they believe in the angels that are taking the deeds, and they believe in the recompense, and that they will see their scripture and it will be handed to them, and it will be said to the people, اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Read your own book today, it will suffice yourself, will suffice you as a reckoner, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa bidhallama lil abid. He does not oppress the slaves whatsoever. Rather, it is the slaves and it is the people that oppress their own souls. So therefore, they have this belief and this creed, and it's firm, and in this manner they are able to check their soul and control their tongues. And this is from the great signs of faith and sincere worship and servitude, that a person, he has authority over his own tongue, and he has authority and command over his own actions. And he checks his soul with the reins of the Sharia, with the reins of the legislation. This is a great sign of goodness in a human being, and from the foundations and fundamentals of noble and lofty manners. Those who truly believe in Allah in the last day, they think before they speak. The evidences for these affairs they have proceeded, alhamdulillah. In the previous class, we ended our discussion with the narration of Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi radiyallahu anhu. And he is Abu Amr, and it is mentioned, or he is known as Abu Amra, and he is Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi, and he was from the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He only narrated a number of narrations, approximately five. From them, the famous narration that the author, he is mentioning a part of in this work that we study now. Sufyan Ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi, he was from those who Umar radiallahu anhu, he used as a leader in charge of the people of Ta'if in his days in the Khilafah. And he is from the noble companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The author is mentioning this narration here. Qala kultu, he said, I said, Ya Rasulullah, I said, O Messenger of Allah, ma akhwafu ma takhafu alayya, what is the thing that you fear most for me? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa akhadha bi lisani nafsihi fa qala hadha. And he took his tongue, he took a hold of his own tongue and he said this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This narration here of Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, this is a very famous narration and a very beneficial narration. And this wording here, as the author he mentioned, is the wording of At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But this is the end of the narration. And the narration in At-Tirmidhi, it begins with an introduction. And Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he says, Hadithni, Ya Rasulullah, Hadithni bi amrin a'tasimu bihi. Hadithni bi amrin a'tasimu bihi. O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrate to me an affair. Teach me something that I can hold fast to. Teach me something that I can hold fast to. Meaning that I can hold fast to and be a means of savior and success for me. That I can hold fast to in my religion, in my deen, that will be a means of savior and success for me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قُلْ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. He said to him, say my Lord is Allah. Say my Lord is Allah, and then be upright and steadfast. And then be upright and steadfast. After this, the portion of the text comes now. Now he says, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after getting this advice to say, my Lord is Allah, and then be upright and steadfast upon that, and upon that which that necessitates, then he asked again, what is the thing that you fear most for me? And he, with regards to this affair, and my declaration of faith, that my Lord is Allah, and my striving to be upright and steadfast upon the straight path and the obedience of Allah, what do you fear most for me, O Messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِ نَفْسِهِ وَقَالَ هَذَا. And he took his own tongue, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said this. And he said this. So this is an amazing narration, clarifying many benefits, and from them the dangers of the tongue, and the relationship of the tongue with regards to al-istiqamah, and the relationship with the tongue with regards to sincere faith and belief in Allah. Man Rabbuk, Rabbi Allah. My Lord is Allah. My Lord is Allah. This is creed and this is belief. So he said, Qul Rabbi Allah. Say my Lord is Allah. Say my Lord is Allah. And say that with your tongue and believe it in your heart with certainty and with sincerity and with devotion. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. And then be upright, meaning be upright upon that. Be upright upon that belief that my Lord is Allah, meaning Ma'budi Allah. I don't worship anybody else. The one who I worship alone, the one who I devote myself entirely alone, with love and submission and surrender and hope and fear and obedience and trust and reliance and compliance is Allah alone. Qul Rabbi Allah. My Lord is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. And then you have to be upright upon that. And then you have to be upright and steadfast upon that faith, upon that belief, upon that creed, to be upright upon that in creed and in deed, in speech and in action, in manners and in conduct, in every affair. This is the means for success. What is the thing that is most feared for a person on that path? His own tongue. His own tongue. What is most feared for a person who is upon that path? The path of paradise, the path that leads to Allah, the path of al-istiqamah, it is his own tongue. This is from the most dangerous of affairs that could take a person away from al-istiqamah, away from al-istiqamah. So this is from those narrations of the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. And this narration, as has preceded, is the 21st narration in the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his explanation and commentary on these narrations, he has some beneficial transmissions and statements from the Salaf with regards to the meaning of this narration. Say, my Lord is Allah. Say, my Lord is Allah. This is the narration of At-Tirmidhi. Qul Rabbi Allah, thumma istaqim. And the wording of Sahih Muslim, Qul amantu billah, thumma istaqim. Say, I believe in Allah, and then be upright. And I believe in Allah as my Lord, and the one whom I worship alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one whom I obey, and I comply to his command with humbleness and submission. Qul amantu billah, Qul Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah, thumma istaqim. And then be upright. So he mentioned some benefits. Rahimahullah ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he died in the year 795, with regards to this meaning. Thumma istaqim. Say, my Lord is Allah. And I believe in Allah Azza wa Jal as the Lord and Cherisher and Sustainer and Provider, and the only one who is worthy of worship, the one who possesses the divine attributes of perfection. No deficiency does he have whatsoever. Say, he is my Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thumma istaqim. Thumma istaqim. And this is similar that, like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has mentioned in his book about those who have the aid of Allah in this life and the hereafter. Inna alladhina qalu rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu tatanazzalu alayhim al-malaika alla takhafu wa la tahzanu wa abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily those who say our Lord is Allah, and then they are steadfast and upright, thumma istaqamu. They don't just say it only, and it's not lip service only, but rather there's application directly after that. Thumma istaqamu, and they establish those rights, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rights that Allah has given His creation. From the head of them, the rights of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thumma istaqamu. And then they are steadfast upon that. The angels, they descend upon them, and they declare to them, telling them, do not fear and have no grief. Verily have glad tidings of the paradise that you were promised. Of the paradise that you were promised. Likewise, another verse, Allah, He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That verily, those who say our Lord is Allah, and then they are steadfast and upright upon that way, they have no fear on them whatsoever, and nor do they grieve. And these, they are the dwellers of the paradise, and they will abide therein forever. And this is the recompense for that which they used to do, for the actions they used to do. They were recompensed with good because of the good that they have performed with their creed and with their deed. With their creed and with their actions and their speech. They said that and they meant that. And they believed that, and it was firm until it produced the actions of istiqama, steadfastness upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that istiqama means steadfastness upon the obligations and performing the obligatory duties day in and day out. Performing the obligations that must be performed and avoiding the prohibitions that must be avoided. In this manner, they have this promise. They have this great promise from Allah Azza wa Jal that they will not have any fear, nor will they have any grief, and that they will be from the people of paradise, and they will abide therein forever. And this is the recompense for their good actions and their good deeds. Hal jaza'u al-ihsani illa al-ihsan is the recompense for good. Anything but good, meaning the recompense for good is nothing but good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He recompensed the good doers, and He loves those who do good. And from the good that one must perform is the good of his tongue. And from the evil that one must refrain from is the evil of the tongue. And the point now is to see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he related this affair of creed and istiqamah to the tongue. What is the thing you fear most for me, O Messenger of Allah? After mentioning this affair, he said this right here, the tongue. So there are some narrations Ibn Rajab rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned about this meaning here, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Be upright, say, my Lord is Allah. Say, I believe in Allah. And then be upright. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he mentioned in the interpretation of this verse, he said, لَمْ يُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا أَيْ لَمْ يُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Meaning then, and then they were upright. That those who said our Lord is Allah, and then they were upright, meaning they did not associate any partners with Allah whatsoever. لَمْ يُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا لَا كَبِيرًا وَلَا صَغِيرًا لَا أَشْرِكَ الْأَكْبَرُ وَلَا أَشْرِكَ الْأَصْغَرُ. No shirk whatsoever. Their hearts were devoted entirely to Allah, and their devotion and their hope and their love and their fear and their reliance was upon Allah, and they turned to Allah and not to the people. Their hearts are devoted and turned to Allah and attached to Allah and not to the people. That's the meaning of this. Lam yushriku billahi shay'an. And there's another wording that has come. Ibn Rajab, likewise, he mentioned, rahimahullah, clarifying this meaning also from As-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, that he said, lam yaltafitu ila ilahin ghayrihi. That they did not, al-iltifat, lam yaltafitu. Al-iltifat is like this, to look into the left and to the right, to look around. To look around. But what he's talking about now, iltifat al-qalb, the heart. The heart did not look to another God besides him. The heart did not look to another object of worship to be loved and to be devoted to and to be hoped in and to be feared and to be relied upon and to be trusted other than Allah. So this is the meaning, that they attach their hearts to Allah Azza wa Jal. And what does this require? If that is true attachment and true love and sincere devotion, then they will comply with their body parts. And this is the reality of faith. And faith is actions, and faith is deed, and faith is speech and statement, along with the creed. And whenever the creed is strong, it has the fruits. It has the fruits of application. It has the fruits of al-istiqamah. So also it has been narrated from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ رَبُّهُمْ. And then they were upright upon the fact that Allah is their Lord. And Allah is their master and their creator and the one who they devote themselves to and the one whom they worship alone and the one whom they love and comply to and trust and rely upon, that they have been upright upon that. That their Lord is Allah. That their Lord is Allah. Also, it has been narrated, yani, from others as well. From them, Umar radiallahu anhu, that he read this verse on the minbar. He read this verse on the minbar. Inna alladhina qalu rabbuna Allahu thumma istaqamu. Verily, those who say our Lord is Allah and then they were upright. Qala lam yarugu rabaghana tha'lab. He said, then they were upright and they didn't swerve around the way of the fox. Yani the fox, yani, meaning that they were steadfast on the straight path upon obedience. They're not sometimes on obedience and sometimes here. The fox, when he goes around, he swerves left and right. And he's cutting here and cutting there. And he turning to the left and turning to the right in his movements. But as for the people of al-istiqamah, they're straight on the path. They didn't come onto the path sometimes and fall off other times. And sometimes they're here and sometimes they're there. Rather, they were steadfast upon that. They were steadfast upon that way. And they were not falling off of the path to the left and to the right. You know, on the straight path, there are gateways. And there are doorways with nothing but curtains on them. And those curtains, Sandy, they are appealing. And a person may be curious what is behind them. And another example, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned that the straight path is like this, and on the side are those pathways. Ala kulli sabilin minha shaytan, on every path there's a shaytan, yad'u ilayhi, calling to that way. These are the ways of misguidance. These are the ways of shirk and disbelief and hypocrisy and lying and cheating and stealing, or even before that, the ways of kibr and the ways of ujub. All these doorways are the doorways of the sins. The doorways of the sins that take one out of the deen entirely, or bring deficiency to one's religion. And from that, the sins of the heart, and likewise here, the sins of the tongue, and the likes like this. These are the doorways that are on the sides of the straight path that take one away. That take one away. So a believer, he has to be firm and steadfast upon the straight path. He has to be firm and steadfast on the straight. Not like a fox going this way and going that way. Going this way and going that way. Going this way and going that way. Likewise, it has been narrated from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma that he said, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and then they were upright. قَالَ اسْتَقَامُوا عَلَىٰ أَدَاءِ فَرَائِضِهِ. And so that we can understand the meaning of this. That what it means, according to Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that they were upright after that. They said, our Lord is Allah. And then they were upright. They were upright upon the fara'id, the obligations. The obligations of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, this is what is intended here, by not associating partners with Allah whatsoever, and by establishing the shahada and la ilaha illallah, and by not going left and to the right, and not having the heart looking to anything from, or attached to anything from the creation, meaning that they are devoted to Allah with obedience. They are devoted to Allah with obedience, and at the head of that, having care and concern for the performance of the obligatory actions. of the obligatory actions. There are actions that are obligatory that must be performed, and there are actions that are obligatory that must be avoided as well. There are obligations. There are obligations to perform them and establish them, and there are other obligations that must be avoided. The awamir and the nawahi, there are obligations from these affairs. Commandments and prohibitions, it's an obligation to establish them. This is what this is intending here. And ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ قُلْ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمْ upon the obligations of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you believe in Him, and if you believe in the last day, and He truly, this is what will happen. This is what would occur. The fruits of application, they will come. They will come. So we see that there are other interpretations likewise that he mentioned. Some of them mentioned that it's the meaning shahada and la ilaha illallah. And some of them refer to the issue of tawheed. And all of them are different interpretations that have the same meaning. There are different interpretations that have the same general meaning. And Ibn Rajab, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned a beautiful comment on this affair here to clarify the reality of istiqamah. To clarify the reality of istiqamah. The author, he's mentioning this verse here, and likewise we remember, and from the beginning of the chapter of the major sins of the heart, and likewise we were reminded in the previous class yesterday, the sins of the tongue, the hadith of Anas, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يستقيم إيمان العبد حتى يستقيم قلبه ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه. That the faith of a believer will not have istiqamah, not be upright and steadfast and good and solid and firm until his heart is solid and firm. And his heart will not be solid and firm until his tongue is upright and solid and firm likewise. Meaning upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal in performing the obligations. Upon La ilaha illallah. Upon Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibn Rajab, he says, وَلَعَلَّ مَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ الْإِسْتِقَامَةُ عَلَى التَّوْحِيدِ إِنَّمَا أَرَادَ التَّوْحِيدِ الْكَامِلِ الَّذِي يُحَرِّمُ صَاحِبَهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. What is intended here, those who say their Lord is Allah, and then they are upright, whenever this has been interpreted as tawheed, not the foundation of tawheed. Yani, not the foundation of tawheed, he's saying, but what is being referred to here, and Allah knows best, is the complete tawheed. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا any with the complete tawheed, the tawheed that will prohibit a person from the fire entirely. These are the ones who have this promise. The ones who have turned away from showing off and from wanting worldly gain from the actions of the hereafter. Those who have turned away from shirk in every aspect and they have devoted themselves to Allah entirely with trust and reliance and faith. These are the ones who have applied the commandments properly and avoided the prohibitions entirely. This is the tawheed that is intended here. وَهُوَ تَحْقِيقُ مَعْنَى لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And this means to actualize and fulfill the rights of La ilaha illallah. To actualize and fulfill the rights of La ilaha illallah. فَإِنَّ الْإِلَهَ هُوَ الَّذِي يُطَاعُ فَلَا يُعْصَى خَشَّةً وَإِجْلَالًا وَمَهَابَةً وَمَحَبَّةً وَرَجَاءً وَتَوَكُّلًا وَدُعَاءً وَالْمَعَاصِي كُلُّهَا قَادِحَةٌ فِي هَذَا التَّوْحِيدِ. He said, affirming again, that those who had istiqamah, meaning those who had the complete tawheed, and they are those who have fulfilled the rights of al-tawheed. And this is because al-ilah, Allah, He is al-ilah, al-haq. Al-ilah, He is the one who is that is worshipped. Allah, He is the one who is worshipped in truth. And the ilah, a person's God that he worships, this is the one who is obeyed. He is obeyed and he is not disobeyed. Out of fear and reverence and out of honor and respect and with love and hope and trust and reliance and supplication. And all of the actions of disobedience bring deficiency to that tawheed. All of the actions of disobedience bring deficiency to that tawheed. And we have seen that the actions of disobedience, some of them are more severe than others. And from them, the chapters that we study now, the kaba'ir and the major sins. Why are the actions of disobedience bringing deficiency and weakening the tawheed? It says, لِأَنَّهَا إِجَابَةٌ لِدَاعِي الْهَوَى وَهُوَ الشَّيْطَانِ. He said, because when one falls into disobedience, this is because he's responding to the call of his desires. And this is shaitan. Shaitan, he's the one who's calling the person to follow his desires. So a person, he has enemies. He has an enemy, his own soul, and nafs al-amara bisu, the soul that calls to evil. And likewise, he has al-hawa, he has desires inside of his soul likewise. And also there's a shaitan, there's a devil, a cursed devil. Mm-hmm. He has to be able to fight all of them in order to be steadfast and to be upright. So by falling into disobedience, now he is calling, he's answering the call of shaitan and answering the call of desires. So the one who falls into disobedience, this is because he has responded to the call of the devil. This is because he has responded to the call of his soul, the evil in his soul. Or he has responded to the call of his desires. And all of them is, any of the shaitan, he uses them to manipulate a person to leave the straight path. And shaitan, he does not care which way you go, whether you leave the straight path by going to extremes or going into negligence. So long as a person, he leaves the straight path. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned if he finds a person who has diligence with him in his religion and care and concern for his deen, he'll try to make him go astray with extremism and to go beyond the boundaries and to go too far and to go to oppression in this manner and to leave the straight path by transgressing the limits and the boundaries, either in his creed or in his belief or in his tongue or in his eyes and his hands and the likes, like this, going beyond the boundaries and beyond the limits and the likes like this in extremism. This is a means to leave the straight path. Shaitan, if he can lead a person there, he will lead him there. If he finds the individual, he's lazy, he's lackadaisical, he's tried by whims and desires. On the other hand, and he's not having care and concern for his religion so much, then he'll try to lead him away with negligence and with shahawat and impermissible desires and lusts and the likes like this. So shaitan, he doesn't care. He will call you in this manner. But those who have this promise, there are those who have fought that call and they have repressed that call and they have strove against their souls until they have checked that affair. And their devotion is to Allah and their obedience is to Allah, not to their whims, not to their desires, and not to the shaitan. Rather, their obedience and their submission and compliance and their trust and reliance is upon Allah alone. Now, so he's mentioning here again, yani, that the fact that these sins, they bring deficiency to the tawheed, and this is because, yani, responding to the sins and actions of disobedience, this is responding to the call of the desires, and in reality, this is shaitan. He says, قال الله عز وجل, and Allah, the Most High, he says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهُهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen the one who has taken his own desires as his God? His own desires as his God? And this is very important and beneficial to see, especially when he mentioned in the beginning that the God, the Ilah, he is the one who is obeyed. The God, the Ilah, he is the one who is obeyed. He is the one who is obeyed. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he is al-Ilah al-Haqq. He's the true God that should be obeyed out of fear and love and reverence and compliance and devotion, as he mentioned. But here Allah is mentioning that there are other people who obey their souls to the extent as if they're a God. As if he has taken his soul as a God. And he, because of the obedience and the love that he has for his desires and his whims and the preference that he shows to his whims and to his desires over the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen the one who has taken his desires as his God? قال الحسن وغيره, he says, الحسن البصري and other than him has mentioned, هو الذي لا يهوى شيئا إلا ركبه. He said that the one who has taken his desires as his God, meaning as his object of worship, he is the one who does not desire or like anything except for he perpetrates it and commits it. And he has no limits. Whatever his soul wants, he goes and gets it. And this is the one who is as if he's taken his soul and his whims and his desires as his God. He says, فَهَذَا يُنَافِي الْإِسْتِقَامَةَ عَلَى التَّوْحِيدِ. So this here, it negates steadfastness and being upright upon التوحيد. And he responding to the whims and the desires and falling into the actions of disobedience. So this is not istikhama. This is not istikhama. And we have seen, and I have witnessed myself, this misunderstanding. And many people, they will say, you will hear them today, Allah will guide them, alhamdulillah. Allah will guide them, the general guidance, and they will see the path of a salafiyyah, and they will see the obligation of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will start to outwardly yani do this, and even maybe possibly some in the inward affair as well. And you will find him starting to grow his beard, Or you'll find him to start put his pants above his ankles, and you'll find him to start yani complying to some of the requirements in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani outwardly, and then he will say, whenever I came to al-istiqama. Or you say, whenever I came to al-istiqama, I was like this and like that. Or alhamdulillah, I came to al-istiqama. But if you see his dealings, and he's backbiting the people, and he's cheating the people, and he's deceiving the people, or he's neglecting the prayer, all of this outward appearance is great obligation and part of istiqama. To have a beard is from al-istiqama, and to have the pants above the ankle is from al-istiqama. But there are other actions likewise from al-istiqama, and from that istiqama to al-lisan. And from that is istiqama al-lisan, that the tongue will be upright. So the fact that a person, he thinks he came to istiqama because he put a thawb on, alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful thing. This is a beautiful thing. Or he thinks he came to istiqama just because he started growing his beard. Growing the beard, alhamdulillah, is an obligation and a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. Aisha radiallahu anha used to swear, وَلَذِي زَيَّنَ الرِّجَالَ بِالْلِحَى. I swear by the one who beautified the men with the beards. And she would swear like this, radiallahu anha, and that the beards is a beautification and adornment and manhood for the man. But this is not the limit or the end. Rather, a person, he has to fulfill that, and after that, along with that, he has to correct his faith and devote himself to Allah properly until his tongue is upright, until his hands are upright, until his eyes are upright, and he looks at that which is allowed, and he looks away from that which is impermissible. And he looks away from that which is impermissible. So we shouldn't just be deceived that the istiqama is an outward appearance. The outward appearance is part of it. There's istiqama in the outward appearance, because there's a legislation in every affair of the human being. There's a legislation in istiqama with regards to the hair. With regards to the hair, there's istiqama. A person, he can leave the straight path, and he can fall into disobedience with his haircut. And we see it many times today. Wallahu al-musta'an. So the point is not that we wouldn't show concern for the outward appearance. La, the outward appearance is important, and an indication of the rectification of the inward appearance. Yani the fact that somebody has the sunnah outwardly is a good sign for them, but it's not the proof. The proof comes, as Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, wait till the man speaks. Wait till the man speaks. فَانْتَذِرْ الرَّجُلْ حَتَّى يَتَكَلَّمْ. Wait for the man to speak. Now you know the reality, because he's going to dish out for you what is inside of his heart. So therefore, the istiqama has to be inward and outward. The point that we want to make, the istiqama has to be inward and outward. The upright and steadfastness, it has to be seen not only in a person's appearance, but likewise in his manners, in his conduct, in his deen, in his dealings with his people, with his family, with his children, with his wife, or with her husband. Likewise, istiqama as well. Some women, they will say the same thing. They'll be guided, and they will start to cover themselves properly, alhamdulillah, which is an obligation. But then they will leave it as if this is enough. And then you will find them yelling and cursing their husbands. And some of them will fight, raising their voices or striking or belittling their husbands in front of the children and the likes. Like, this is not istiqama. Wallahi, this is not istiqama. Some of them, the heart is black as the garment that they're wearing. This is not correct and not proper. A person, she will cover herself now for the sake of Allah, and then also she will cover her awrah, her faults and her manners and her conduct, and decorate that likewise with the beautiful conduct, the beautiful manners, the beautiful speech of forbearance and of patience and of reliance and trust upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the application of that, this is true istiqama. True istiqama, it begins in the heart and is apparent on the body parts. Apparent on the body parts. From the greatest affairs of istiqama is the point that we have in our lesson tonight, and that is the istiqama of the tongue. After mentioning this again, ponder over the narration. Hadithni bi shay'in a'tasim bihi. Narrate to me something, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can hold fast to. Al-i'tisam is you hold fast. If somebody is afraid of something, and he's afraid, for example, to get blown away in the torrent or in the wind, or if he's in the ocean and he's about to drown, if he had a rope, how would he hold on to that rope? He would hold on to it tightly. عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِثِ. Yani, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, bite onto it with your molar teeth. Yani, holding on fast. Holding on fast. وَمَنْ يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And whoever holds fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his obedience, meaning with trust and reliance in his obedience, then they will be guided to the straight path. Then they will be guided to the straight path. This is what he's asking. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him first and foremost, قُلْ رَبِّي Allah. Say that my Lord is Allah. Is that enough? ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمٍ. and then be upright upon that way. If we think about this, this is very similar to the affair of a tasfiyah with tarbiyah. Say, my Lord is Allah, and my devotion is to Allah, and purify your creed and your devotion and your tawheed and your reliance and your trust and your faith for Allah alone, and then cultivate yourself upon that way until you're upright in your speech and in your manners. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. And then be upright upon that. Purify your creed and purify your belief and purify your tawheed, and then rectify your actions and your manners and your speech by being upright upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. By being upright upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. قُلْتُ مَا أَخْوَفُ مَا تَخَافُ عَلَيَّ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I said after that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you fear for me most? And as I'm saying, and I believe in Allah, and I'm striving to be upright, what do you fear for me the most? فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِ نَفْسِهِ وَقَالَ هَذَا. He took his own tongue, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said this. And he said this. So therefore the issue of the tongue, and this is clear here, the author he's mentioning here, بَابُ التَّحْذِيرِ مِنْ شَرِّ أَلِّسَانِ. The chapter with regards to the warning from the evils of the tongue. The warning from the evils of the tongue, meaning the tongue can take somebody away from the straight path like that. And it's easy, and it's not hard, and it's not difficult. After this, the author, he says, وَلَهُ وَصَحَّحَهُ عَنْ مُؤَذْ. And also narrated by At-Tirmidhi, رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And he has declared this narration authentic, that Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu, he said, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّا لَمُؤَخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ. And Mu'adh, he said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are we truly going to be held accountable for that which we say? قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ. May your mother be bereaved of you. Meaning, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ, meaning that your mom lost you, meaning you died. May you die. That's the meaning of it. But it's not intended here. This is something that somebody would say whenever they fall into something that's not good. And the lies like this, they will be said like this. And the meaning is not intended. But the meaning is not intended. And may your mother be bereaved of you. And he may pay attention. Subhanallah, how could you fall into this affair? وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَى وَجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَاتِهِمْ. And is there anything that will cause the people to fall on their faces, meaning in the hellfire, or on their noses, anything greater than the harvest of their tongues? Anything greater than the harvest of their tongues? So again, this is another narration from the 40 hadith, and this is the 29th hadith from the 40 of hadith of An-Nawawi, and it's a long narration. In the beginning, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he said, O Messenger of Allah, دُلُّنِي عَلَى أَمَلٍ يُدْخِلُنِي جَنَّةٍ وَيُبَعِدُنِي مِنَ النَّارِ. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lead me, teach me, direct me to some deed. If I do it, it will enter me into paradise and it will take me far away from the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned to him the pillars of al-Islam and to establish the pillars of al-Islam. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ. Should I not lead you now to the gateways of goodness? And he mentioned for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the non-obligatory fasting. And he mentioned for him the night prayer, any of the avenues of goodness even after establishing the pillars of al-Islam. He mentioned for him the gateways of goodness and the gateways of khayr and the non-obligatory fasting. And then after that, and the night prayer, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُ عَلَى رَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ. And then he said, should I not tell you about the head of the affair, all of it? And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he said, Bala ya Rasulullah, of course. He said, Rasul Amri al-Islam, wa umuduhu al-salah, wa dhirwatu sanamihi al-jihad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the head of the affair, O Mu'adh, is al-Islam, and his submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and surrender with obedience. And the pillar is salah. And the highest point and mark of al-Islam, it is jihad, and striving in the path of Allah. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Mu'adh, la adulluka ala milaki dhalika kullihi. Should I not tell you and inform you, O Mu'adh, of that which is in charge of all of that? Ala adulluka ala milaki dhalika kullihi. Should I not inform you about that which is in charge of all of that? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and his tongue, كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا. The tongue, and then the Mu'adh رضي الله عنه, he mentioned this statement here. وَإِنَّ لَمُؤَخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ. Are we really going to be held accountable for that which we speak and that which we say? And then until the end of the narration. So this is another indication, subhanAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the pillars of Islam, beginning with the shahadatain. Then he mentioned the non-obligatory fasting, was sawm junnah. Then he mentioned the night prayer, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he mentioned the head of the affairs at Islam. And the highest point is the salah, or the highest pillar. The greatest pillar is salah. And the highest point is striving in the path of Allah. And then he said, shall I not inform you of what is in charge and has control over all of that? He said, the tongue. Meaning all of that can be wiped out. All those deeds can either be wiped out entirely or can be brought great deficiency to them by way of the tongue. So therefore, Ibn Rajab, likewise, he mentioned about this narration. He says, هَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ كَفَ اللِّسَانِ وَضَبْطَهُ وَحَبْسَهُ هُوَ أَصْلُ الْخَيْرِ كُلِّهِ وَأَنَّ مَنْ مَلَكَ لِسَانَهُ فَقَدْ مَلَكَ أَمْرَهُ وَأَحْكَمَهُ وَضَبَطَهُ. That this narration indicates that that refraining the tongue and checking and controlling the tongue is the foundation of all good. Is the foundation of all good. And that the one who has control over his own tongue, then verily he has control and authority over all of his affair. And he has checked his whole affair. And he so the one who is able to control his tongue, and he has authority over his own tongue. And he meaning that he applies the previous narrations, and he remembers the previous verses, and that have been mentioned. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْ يَقُولْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُوْ. So he's working with his usul. He's working with this guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. He's working with these fundamentals. He's working with these foundations. يعني وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. He's aware of these ayat and he's aware of these affairs. So therefore, he's working in this manner. He will check his tongue. The one who is able to check his tongue, you will find that all of his affairs in check. By checking his tongue and having the ability to repress and refrain his tongue from evil, this is a means for him to check the rest of his body. Because this one is difficult. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? Al-mar'u bi-asgharayhi. Now these are four words, if you want to count all of them. Al-mar'u bi-asgharayhi. And a person, he's held accountable, or he's considered by the two most smallest parts of his body. His tongue and his heart. His tongue and his heart. The smallest thing, this tongue right here, and the flesh of the body, the heart, this organ right here, the smallest organs in the body. But a person, he's considered by that, whether he's upright, whether he's good, whether he's wicked, whether he's evil, according to his heart and his tongue. So from the greatest signs of al-istiqamah, haqqan, the true steadfastness upon the obedience of Allah, and being upright upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam properly and correctly and sincerely is the affair of the tongue. Is the affair of the tongue. Ibn Rajab rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned with regards to this narration some narrations from the Salaf likewise. And from them he mentioned from Yahya ibn Abi Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he's from the Tabi'een. He said, مَا صَرَحَ مَنْطِقُ رَجُلٍ إِلَّا عَرَفْتُ ذَلِكَ فِي سَائِرِ أَمِرِهِ. He said that a person's speech was never correct and good, and he sound. It was never good except I realized that in the rest of his actions. And they would notice these affairs. He died in 132, rahimahullah. So he says, his speech has never been correct and good except that I recognize that in the rest of his deeds. وَلَا فَسَدَ مَنْطِقُ رَجُلٍ قَطْ إِلَّا عَرَفْتُ ذَلِكَ فِي سَائِرِ أَمَرِهِ. And a man, his tongue has never been corrupted ever, except I realized that and recognized that in the rest of his actions. And he's saying here that if I meet the people and I see them and they're known to me for having good speech, I will see along with that good deeds. He will be known for that. The person who's known for good speech, he's known for that. He's also known for good deeds. And also the one he's saying that he would realize that this person, he has a foul tongue, his tongue is corrupted and his speech is evil, and that he realized also that person, his actions likewise, they're similar. And this is because the deeds, they are in accordance with what is in the heart. So if the heart is good, then the deeds are good. From the deeds of the tongue. The tongue is dishing out what is in the heart. So if the tongue is dishing out goodness, then the goodness is going to be shown on the hands and on the feet. Likewise, because that's what's in the heart. And likewise, if the tongue is dishing out evil, clarifying the foul and the bitter taste of that person's heart, then likewise, following along with that are going to be the actions. Also, he mentioned a narration from Yunus ibn Ubayd. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا لِسَانُهُ مِنْهُ عَلَبًا إِلَّا رَأَيْتُ ذَلِكَ صَلَاحًا فِي سَائِرِ عَمَرِهِ. He said, I've never seen anyone that has concern, for his tongue, except that I've seen the rectification in the rest of his deeds. Some people, they have concern for their tongue. Some people, they do not have concern for their tongue. But he's saying, I never seen anybody who has concern for their tongue. And they think about what they say, and they reflect upon what they say, and they consider what they say and what they have said. That one, he never met anybody like this, except that this person's actions were upright. Except that he had noticed that this person's actions, they were upright. They're upright. Also, it's been narrated from Yunus ibn Ubayd, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, لا تجد شيئا من البر من البر واحدا يتبعه البر كله غير اللسان. He said, you will not find anything from the affairs of righteousness. You will not find one affair from the affairs of righteousness that all of the other righteous deeds follow behind except for the tongue. No actions of righteousness, you will not find any one of them. The rest of the deeds follow behind it. The rest of the good deeds follow behind it except for the tongue. He says, تَجِدُ الرَّجُلَ يَسُومُ النَّهَارُ وَيُفْطِرُ عَلَى الْحَرَامِ. You'll find a man fasting in the daytime and he'll break his fast upon that which is haram and impermissible. وَيُكُمُ اللَّيْلِ وَيَشْهَدُ بِالزُّورِ بِالنَّهَارِ. And he'll stand in the night prayer and then he'll testify to false witness in the daytime and lie in the daytime. And he mentioned many things. He says, وَلَكِنْ لَتَجِدُهُ لَا يَتَكَلَّمُ إِلَّا بِحَقٍ فَتُخَالِفُ ذَلِكَ عَمَلُهُ أَبَدًا. He said, but you will not find anybody who is always in consistency, and with consistency speaking the truth, and then find that his actions are contrary to that ever. And so the one who has accustomed his tongue and his soul and his self to saying that which is good or being quiet, then the rest of his actions, they follow in line along with that. Because the heart and the tongue, and the heart and the tongue are directly related. And likewise, the rest of the deeds. After this, the author, he says, وَلَهُ عَنْ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ مَرْفُوعًا. And likewise, also from At-Tirmidhi, from the Haditha Abi Sa'id, narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا أَسْبَحَ إِبْنُ آدَمَ فَإِنَّ الْأَعْضَاءَ كُلَّهَا تُكَفِّرُ الْلِسَانَ وَتَقُولُ اتَّقِ لَهَا فِينَا فَإِنَّمَا نَحْنُ بِكَ إِنْ اسْتَقَمْتَ اسْتَقَمْنَا وَإِنْ اعْوَجَجْتَ اعْوَجَجْنَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Every morning, whenever the son of Adam, he wakes up, all of the organs, the body parts of the human being, تُكَفِّرُ أَلِسَانِ. The author, he says, قَوْلُهُ تُكَفِّرُ أَيْ تَذِلُّ وَتَقْضَعُ. تَذِلُّ وَتَقْضَعُ. That all of the body parts, تُكَفِّرُ أَلِسَانِ, يَنِي تَخْضَعُ لِلِسَانِ وَتَذِلُّ. Meaning they humble themselves before the tongue. All of the body parts, they humble themselves in humility and humbleness before the tongue, and they say, fear Allah with regards to us, because we are by way of you. And if you are upright, then we are upright. And if you are crooked and corrupted, then we will be crooked and corrupted. Again, a clarification that the issue of the tongue, if the tongue is upright, the rest of the bodies, they will be upright. Because the tongue, it dishes out that which is in the heart. The tongue does not dish out anything except for that which is in the heart. And so therefore, if the tongue is upright, then the indication the heart is upright. And if this affair is good, the rest of the body parts are following and aligned. This is amazing narration. إذا أسبح ابن آدم فإن الأعضاء كلها تكفر اللسان تخضع للسان وتذل له فتقول اتق لها فينا فإنما نحن بك إن استقمت استقمنا وإن اعوججت اعوججنا قوله تكفر أي تذل وتخضع. Also has been narrated, he says, rahimahullah, an Abi Hurayrata radiyallahu anhu marfu'a. From the haditha Abi Hurayrata radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مَا يَتَبَيَّنُ فِيهَا يَزِلُّ بِهَا فِي النَّارِ أَبْعَدَ مِمَّا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ أَخْرَجَاهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily, a slave, a person, he will make a statement. He will make a statement and he will not clarify. He will not verify any of the authenticity or the correctness of that statement. He didn't think before he spoke. Yani, and then he will slip and fall into the hellfire, the distance that is further away from the east and the west. A distance further away from the east and the west. Again, clarifying the dangers of the tongue and the importance of clarifying and making tathabbut. He didn't clarify yani, the authenticity or the correctness or whether it's proper to say or not. Yani, and for this reason, he fell into the hellfire. He will fall into the hellfire, a distance that is further than the east and the west. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.